Well, good morning. I'm just so thankful that you're here this morning. Today, what I want to do is we're going to continue our summer series that we're calling Rewind. And basically what it is, it's a study of the book of Acts where we're kind of rewinding and looking up back and see how did the church begin? How did we get to where we're at today? And it's been a great journey over the last couple thousand of the years. And now we get to participate in this beautiful thing called the church that's alive. It's the body of Jesus. So what I want to do today, if you will find your Bible, and I trust that you're bringing your paper Bible. If not, you have your paper Bible right there. They're still out there, aren't they? A couple of you, good for you. I know, I see all you lifting your sword, the sword of the Spirit, good stuff. But right now what we want to do is we're going to stand today for the reading of the Word, and I'm going to have Heather, she's going to come, and she's going to read the Word for us. So if we would all stand to our feet this morning. I've asked Heather to mix things up a little and read for us. Thank you.
But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked the idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too.
Amen. You may be seated. By the way, how many people know why I asked Heather to do the reading today? Anyone? She gets to it. Okay, Nick, thank you for that. And she nailed those names today. She just nailed the names. I'm like, no, not going there. You do the names. I'll do what I can try to figure out, okay? Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that your word is alive. It's active. It has transformational power. And Father, we just want the word in us, Lord, so that we'll be more like you, Jesus. That's our desire today. And we just give you this time. Just open our hearts, open our minds to receive from you today. And Lord, I just thank you for this relevant word that's good for all of us. All of us. This is good for everyone here today. Can take something with them to apply to their lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. If you were to describe the early church, the church that we're reading about the last few weeks in the book of Acts, what would be one word that you would choose to describe the early church? Anyone?
Koinonia.
Okay, koinonia, great things, okay. This is the word that I would use, and the word is this. And the word is this. I think we're having problems in the back with the word, so I'm going to tell you what the word is. Everybody say healthy. Healthy. The early church, you would definitely say, is a healthy church. I mean, if you think about it, we see that they were devoted to what? They were devoted to the Word of God. They were into Bible studies. They were devoted to prayer. People were getting together, praying all the time. They were devoted to koinonia, fellowship. I mean, these people were living life together to the point that they were even sharing meals together. They were also sharing all their belongings. I mean, they were bringing all their belongings together. Why? So those people who were in need could receive and that need would be met. And that's actually what's happening in our text today, is these widows that were in need of food and service were able to come, and the church was able to provide those just real practical needs that they had. So the early church would definitely be a healthy church. We see on a couple of occasions already as we've gone through the text that they were so healthy that they were experiencing this exponential growth. I mean, they were growing, growing, growing like crazy. But here's the thing that surprises me as we enter into chapter 6. We see that even though they were a healthy church, even though they were a church that was growing and all these positive things were going on, we see that there were still problems. Everybody just say problems. Problems. They were having problems. And the reason why they were having problems is because, how many people know, anytime people are existing together, there's the potential for problems. Yay or amen. Come on. There's just that potential for problems when people are together. I mean, we see it in the smallest group of two. When there's marriages, there's potential for problems because there's two people. When there's families, four, five, six, seven, there's problems because there's people. There's people. Even in workplaces where you go each and every week, there's potential for problems. Why? Because people exist. And I tell you what, we're not the same. None of us are the same. We're all different. We all have different values, priorities. We see things how they should be done. And when they're not done the way we think they should be done, oh, God forbid, you know what I'm talking about. So there's all kind of problems because there's people. And I would just want to let you know that this even happens in churches. I want everybody to hear me real clearly this morning. There are no perfect churches. Does everybody understand that? But in every church, even healthy churches that are growing and vibrant and alive, there's this common denominator of people, and where there's people, there's this potential for problems, okay? And it always surprises me when people are like surprised that church isn't a perfect place. I had an opportunity to do a wedding yesterday, and I mean, right after the wedding, some guy, when he found out I was a pastor, this happens often, he came and spewed on me for about 10 minutes of all the reasons why he no longer goes to church, because all this imperfection and people are hypocrites. Have you heard that before? And I'm like, exactly. We all need Jesus. Amen? And that's why we come here, not because this is a perfect place or we're perfect people. We're coming because we serve a perfect God that changes our lives. Amen? And I think we need to get over this thing. Well, I don't go to church anymore because there's hypocrites. Baloney. I've always wanted to say that in church, and today was the most appropriate time, okay? So you didn't respond the way I thought you would. So there's problems. Problems. Everybody just say problems. And that's what we see in verse 1. We read that hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers towards the Hebrew-speaking believers because their widows were being discriminated against. When it came time for them to go in line to receive food, who knows, maybe they weren't getting as much food as the other people were getting. So there were issues. And how many people know what churches do when they have problems? I'll tell you what churches do when they have problems. They have meetings. They have meetings, okay? Everybody just say they have meetings. And actually, that's really what leadership is. Leaders are problem solvers. And when there's problems, they have meetings. Not only the case in churches, that's why we need leaders in homes solving problems, leaders in workplaces. Leaders solve problems. That's one of the hats that they wear. And that's exactly what we see in our text this morning. There's problems. So they call a meeting of all the believers. I mean, as I read this week, it blew my mind because now we're up to about 5,000 guys alone, and you include their family. This must have been a big meeting, okay? And in the meeting, the apostles, they start out beginning the meeting by telling the believers, hey, guys, this is our top priority as apostles. And that is that we're to do two things, and two things alone. We are to be studying the Word of God, and we are to be praying. So they begin the meeting by saying, hey, this is what we should be doing. This is what God's called us to do. We're the ones who are studying the Word, teaching the Word, and praying, okay? And then they begin to share a solution to the problem, and I personally believe the solution to the problem was revealed to them as they were what? Praying, okay? So they come to all the people and they begin to solve this problem of this food distribution ministry. And here's what the apostles tell all the believers. What we need to do is we need to find seven men. We need to find seven men, and this is the requirements of the seven men. Number one, these guys need to be well-respected. They need to be well-respected. People need to respect them, okay? Number two, these guys need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And you think, well, how do you determine if someone's filled with the Spirit or not? Well, how many people know Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 give us a great picture of what a Spirit-filled person looks like. How many people have ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Go look for those guys who are filled with the Spirit. They're great at loving and joy. They have peace. They have patience, all these things. Go find Spirit-filled people. And the third requirement is, hey, find people who are full of wisdom, because even in a food ministry, there's going to be problems. Why? Because there's going to be people involved, and they're going to need wisdom to figure out the problems, okay? And he says, hey, after you figure out who these seven guys are, we're going to give them the responsibility, and they're going to oversee this food distribution ministry. And then the apostle says, now we can go and do what we're called to do. And what are they called to do? Everybody together, study the word and what? Pray. So right now they must be hindered from doing those things. So they say, hey, let's find these guys. We got to find these guys so we can get back to what God has called us to do, okay? Then we read in verse 5 that really nothing short of a miracle takes place. And you'll understand if you've ever been in a meeting. Let's show the next slide. Here's the miracle. Everyone liked the idea. How many people know that's a God thing? When everybody likes the idea, you know, you say, well, thank you, God. That was awesome, okay? Because you know that's a God thing, okay? So everyone liked the idea. And we're not told how long it took. It may have taken a week. It may have taken a couple weeks. It may have taken a month. But that's exactly what the people went out to do. They went out to look for these seven men. And guess what? They found these men. And when they found these men, they gave them this new ministry, and they prayed with these guys, and they said these parting words. It's not in the Bible, but I think this is what they say. May the force be with you. May the force be with you. Good luck, okay, dealing with people. So what were the results? Let's look at the results of the plan and the execution. Here's the results. God's message continued to spread. How many people think that's a great result? Result number two, this is what happened. The number of believers greatly increased. Result number three, right from the text, it says that many Jewish priests were converted to Christianity. I don't know about you, but I look at the early church, healthy. They had a problem, and I tell you what, they worked through the problem. They handled it successfully. And as a result, they had amazing, amazing outcome. So here I am. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how can we apply this to the people's lives here today? And here's my application. This is it. Simple. It's going to be real simple. And that is, if these people knew how to handle problems so successfully, don't you think we should learn from them? And everybody say, don't you think it'd be wise that we learn from them how to handle problems? And everybody said, come on, man. I think it's true. So what I want to do today is I want to help you as you face problems in your life. I'm going to give you just three thoughts of how you can handle your problems more successfully, because here's what I know about you, and that is that no one has a perfect life. No one has a perfect marriage. No one has perfect kids. You thought you did, but no one has perfect kids. How many people know that life just isn't perfect? There's problems. So what we're going to do today is we're going to help you. How do you solve problems successfully? And I want to let you know, I'm very excited about these three observations, and I think they're going to be so helpful for you. So I want to encourage you, if you can find a piece of paper, I want you just to write down these three ways that you'll be successful in handling problems. Because there might be some people right here in this room today, right now you're facing a mountain, you're facing a problem. They come in all shapes and sizes. They may be in your personal life. They may be in your work life. But there's problems that are existing. And those are just a big part of life. And I want to help you this morning through God's word, through God's guidance. So number one, the first thing you need to do, and this is so, so important. Let's read it together. Problems need to be addressed, not ignored. Can we all do that together? Problems need to be addressed, not ignored. I have found out when some people have problems, and I won't say some people, I'll include myself in on this one, okay? And that is that sometimes when we have problems, like we want to sweep them under the rug. Have you ever done that before? You just want to ignore the problem and just hope that, well, it's under the rug, it will go away. How many people know just because you ignore a problem, just because you sweep a problem under the rug and you can't see it, how many people know it's still there? Is it still there or not? Yeah, it's still there. And after a while, a lump begins to occur under the carpet, under the rug. And how many people know that can trip you up? So what we try to do is we try to ignore it. We ignore it. And a lot of times we don't address these problems. We don't tackle these problems, so we choose to ignore it. And I was thinking this week, why do people ignore problems? Why do you ignore problems? Why do I ignore problems? And I had this one answer, but today as I was taking a walk this morning, a second answer came to my mind, and I just want to share that one first. And I think it's because a lot of us are in denial. Everybody say, ouch. Ooh, we're in denial. We don't want to, we're blind to the reality that we have a problem. And here's the funny thing I've discovered is everybody else knows. Everybody else knows except for me. But we have these problems, and we don't address them a lot of times because we're in denial that there even is a problem. Why is it so easy to see other people's problems when we can't even see the problem that exists in our own lives and in our own family? So that's one reason why people don't address problems, is because they're in denial. There's a blind spot. There's something hinder them from seeing the problem. But I believe there's a second answer that I think is even bigger, and that is because we view problems incorrectly. We view problems incorrectly. We often see problems as what? A negative instead of a positive. True or not? Nobody sees a problem and says, oh, yeah, this is going to be a positive situation. I'm so excited about this. But many times we see it as a negative. And could it be that problems that are handled correctly can be an opportunity for future growth? Could it be that that problem that's in your life is an opportunity for future growth if you handle it properly? And that's exactly what we saw in the text this morning. There was a problem. Widows were being shortchanged. There was a problem. They took care of the problem. As a result, we see that there was continuous growth that went forward. And I love that. This is the way I see it. These early apostles had lemons, but here's what they made. Everybody say, lemonade. So that's the way it is with life. You got to see problems as an opportunity for future growth if you handle them in the right way. So since this is the case, my challenge is for us to address the problem ASAP. As soon as possible, I want to encourage people today, if you have a problem, address it as soon as possible. Don't continue to ignore it and act like it's going to fix itself. It's not going to fix itself, okay? Just because you got a letter from the IRS and you put it under a stack of papers and refuse to call back or to reply to it, how many people know you still have a problem and you need to address it? And there's situation after situation in our lives where there's problems and we just ignore. God, take it away. Oh, God, remove. Well, you need to get involved and you need to address the problem. So let me ask you a question today, okay? Let's just really get serious here. If you're here today and you're facing a problem, I'm not going to have you raise your hand because you'll be in denial anyway, okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you're facing a problem, let me ask you this question. Are you ignoring that problem or are you addressing that problem? You need to answer that. Am I ignoring the problem? Maybe it's with a teenager. Maybe it's in your marriage. Are you ignoring that issue or are you addressing the issue? And my challenge is because you're here today hearing this message that this week, that you're going to do something about it. This week, you're going to be proactive. This week, you're not just going to ignore it. You're going to say, okay, this is the week. I know that in my life, I have private problems, personal problems, but I also have work-related problems. And as I'm preparing this message this week, God's speaking to me, and as I hope he's speaking to you, and he's saying, Mike, deal with the problem. It's not just going to go away. Is everybody with me this morning? Say, I'm with you, okay? So I want to encourage you, may this be the week. May this be the week. Why wait any longer? It's not going to go away. It's going to probably get bigger. More people are going to be impacted by it. Take care of the problems. Let's get it done this week. How many people want to do that this week? About four of you. That's awesome. That's good. I'm good with that, okay? Number two, after you say, I'm going to address the problem, if you're going to handle the problem, insight number two, if you're going to handle your problem successfully, you need to realize your need for, everybody say it together, help. Everybody just yell, help. Everybody say it one more time, help. See, I love the apostles in this passage because they had such clarity. These guys were so clear. And first of all, they understood what their responsibilities were. They understood, hey, we're called to do what? Teach the word. We're called to pray. But there's a second thing they understood, and that is they knew that they would need others to step up and help carry the load. They knew that they needed help. They knew that there were certain things that were important that they could not do. There wasn't just time, there wasn't enough time. So they realized that they needed help. So I want to let you know the same is true for you, true for me. And that is if we're going to handle our problems, maybe in marriage, maybe with your kids, finances, maybe you have a physical problem, maybe it's emotional, maybe you're here today and you're addicted, maybe you're in denial about that. The first thing you need to do is to realize there's certain things that you can do, but there's also a time where you need to step out and ask for help, for help. And here's what I know about our culture, especially men. We view asking for help as a weakness. And I want to let you know, I see it totally different as I get older and more mature. And that is, I see asking for help as wisdom, as strength, as great opportunity to allow other people to come in and say, hey, Mike, I know you have limits, but where you are limited, I can help you carry the load. And we just need to get over this whole thing that we have to carry this facade like we are perfect. Look at me, I have my act together. Let's just be honest today. None of us have our act together completely. Are you okay with sitting next to somebody that doesn't completely have their act together? I hope so, because we're here together. And I just want to say, there comes a time where it's okay just to say, hey, I need help. I need help. It's okay to say, in my marriage, I need to go see a counselor. I don't know about you men, but when I hear counselor, I'm like, that ain't going to happen. How many men are with me? That ain't going to happen. But I tell you what, guys, all of us, in our need where we're having problems, why is it wrong to go and ask for help? Maybe today your problem is in the area of finances. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity for Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey here in the fall. What's wrong with saying, Dave, you have mastered finances. Why don't I come and ask you for help? Because it's obvious that I need help in this area. And we need to get over this whole thing. We need to put our pride aside. And there's times where you just got to ask somebody to come in and ask for help. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a cookout here at the church. And Tony came up here week after week, and she just gave it her best shot. And she said, hey, there's a sign-up sheet on the table for people to help set up and clean up. And there were names on the list. It was impressive. Not a lot of names, but there were names on that list. Well, the Saturday before the cookout, I called on my assistant, my intern, I'm abusing that, by the way. Nolan's my intern. It's funny, at home I'll say, hey, intern, can you get me something out of the refrigerator? So it's been a little abusive, but it's been a lot of fun. But anyway, I said, hey, intern, we got to go over to the church. It's Saturday morning. There's a big event tomorrow. So Nolan and I came over to the church, and we removed every single table from the basement, up these flight of stairs, carried them to the backyard, probably about 15 tables. We removed about 90% of all the chairs from the basement and took them outside. We were busy for hours. Finally, Nolan spoke a word of wisdom with a little anger. And he said, Dad, why are we doing all this alone? I said, just be quiet and let's keep working. He said, Dad, why are we doing all this alone? He said, Dad, didn't you see the sign-up sheet? There were other people's names on the sign-up sheet, and why are we doing this? Dad, you have a problem. It was basically that straightforward. You have a problem. And I do have a problem, and that is I don't want to ask people for help. And the same thing is true for all of us to an extent, especially us guys. We have problems. We have things that need to get done, but we never take the time to say, hey, will somebody please come and help me? Will somebody please come and help me with my addiction? Will somebody please come and help me with my marriage? Will somebody please come and help me where I can't help myself? Now, I want to let you know, if you're going to handle your problems successfully, quit trying to be Superman. Quit by trying to be the Lone Ranger and doing everything alone. There comes a time for crying out loud. God has given us a gift of others. And in that gift of others, we need to say, hey, will you please help me? And quit thinking as a weakness and begin to look at it as I'm getting smarter, I'm getting wiser, and ask people for help. Ask a coworker, ask your boss, ask an employer. Begin to ask for help. And I just really sense that today, that the Holy Spirit is encouraging me to keep hammering on this, that some of us just need to stop trying to do life alone. Stop it. You got wonderful people. If you're married, you know why God created woman? To be our helper. To be our helper. To help us. And God has put people in our lives. We're not against each other. We're to help each other. Let's move on to number three. So you got to just quit. You got to address it, not ignore it. You got to ask for help. And number three, if you're going to handle your problems successfully, we need to be people of, everybody say this word together, action. Everybody say action.
Action.
What do I mean by that? Let me explain myself. See, after the apostles share the solution of the problem with the people, how they're going to take care of this widow situation, after they share this problem or solution to select seven men, fully respected, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, how many people know the people went to work? We're not sure how long it took. It might have taken a week, 2 weeks. It may have been a month. It may have been 6 months. But they went to work, and they finally came up with a list. And Heather read the list of seven men who met the qualification. And as a result, they experienced great growth. Okay? Here's my question to you. What do you think would have happened if the apostles would have prayed, God gave them this great idea, how to solve the problem, and they told the people how to solve the problem, what they should do? What do you think would have happened if the people would have just said, hey, that's a great idea, but they would have never done anything with the great idea? What do you think the result would have been? I'll tell you from experience, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. I think that the future church growth of the church may have stalled out at that point because the apostles would have been doing things they weren't called to do. I think if they didn't take action, this church, they would have stalled out. Bad things would have happened. And I want to let you just know this morning, the same thing is true for us, me, for you, for all of us in our lives as we deal with problems. It's not enough to know what needs to be done. You got to do something with it. It's not enough just to know up here what I should do. It's not enough just to know that I should go to a marriage counselor and I hear what the counselor says, but then I go home and I don't do anything about what the counselor said I should do, okay? It's not enough for Dave Ramsey for me to go to Financial Peace University and for him to give me this great plan how I can be financially free. But if I don't do anything about executing the plan, how many know nothing's going to happen? It's not enough for you to come to church and hear another amazing sermon, okay? A sermon about, hey, it's important who you hang out with, how you choose your friends. You can know all the right things to do, but until you take that next step and you put feet on the pavement and you raise your hands and you begin to do something about it, you're going to stay the same. And I just want to encourage us today, let's not just be people who know what to do, have heard what to do, the plan's been exposed what we should do, it's been laid out for what we do, and we just sit there. By the way, how many people have been in meetings like that before? By the way, how many board members have been in meetings like that before? Me! I have, and part of the problem is me, okay? So, yeah, we just need to be people of action. You know what you should do. You know what you should do. You know that you have to have that difficult conversation with your teenager, your young adult child. You know that God's laying it on your heart to say, hey, you need to talk to them about A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. It's not enough for you to know. There needs to be a time where you say, hey, let's go out to lunch. Hey, let's sit down together. We have to talk. Folks, it's not enough just to know. There's a time where you got to do something about it. And I think sometimes we just expect our knowledge alone is going to change our situation. It won't be knowledge alone. That's important. That's vital. We should be praying, seeking God. But there's a time where we just need to say, hey, now it's my turn. The ball's in my court. I got to step up and I got to do something about it. So how do we handle problems successfully? Let's review quickly before we come and share together or sing. By the way, our team can come forward. That would be great. Let's just do a quick review. Three things we need to do in review. Handling problems successfully. First of all, problems need to be addressed, not ignored. It's time for you to step up this week. I want to challenge people. This week is a week of action. Amen? This week, I'm going to do something about it. This week, I'm going to do something about my health. This week, I'm going to do something about my finances. This week, I've been addicted. I need to go get help. This is the week. Number two, what we need to do is we need to ask for help. I need help. That's not weakness, that's strength, that's wisdom. That's you growing into maturity to realize that I need help. I'm not good at this. I need somebody to come along and help me. And in review, number three is this. Simply, we need to be people of action. If you have a problem, figure out what you need to do. And after you figured out what you need to do, you need to get busy about carrying it out, about putting it to action. And I tell you what, if you will do those three things, I want you to look closely at them, real close. If you'll do those three things, I believe that God can take an opportunity, take a problem that you thought was negative and turn it into a positive, an opportunity in your life for future growth. So I want to say today, let's quit looking at problems as negative, and let's be a group of people that begin to look at problems as a positive and potential for what God wants to do in our lives. Amen?